From NPR and WBUR Boston, I'm Robin Young.
I'm Jeremy Hobson. It's Here and Now. Coming up, as the U.S. steps up its drone attacks in Yemen, Yemenis are keeping a constant eye to the sky.
But first, that wildfire east of Los Angeles is now covering 15 square miles, up from 6 yesterday. It's injured 3, including 2 firefighters who've been airlifted to local hospitals. Daniel Berland is with the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection. He's at the fire. Daniel, what does it look like now?
Well, this fire has continued to grow overnight. In fact, the latest acreage is now 10,000 acres. Fueled by very dry conditions and strong gusty winds, this fire has moved all across the San Jacinto Mountain towards the community of Cabazon. With the number of homes that were threatened, we've had to put in several evacuation orders to get residents out of harm's way. Right now, about 600 homes or so are threatened by this blaze.
And how many have been burned so far that you can tell?
Approximately 15 or so structures have been destroyed. But again, this was a very destructive fire yesterday afternoon.
Yeah. Well, Daniel, we're about to talk to someone about the theories of firefighting and whether or not efforts should be made to save structures and homes. Your sense, if this fire were to be let go?
Unfortunately, here in California, we don't have that ability. We have to ensure that we're taking steps ahead of a large fire like this to do fire prevention work, other work, because where we build our homes, unfortunately, anywhere in California are in fire-prone areas. But in California, we've addressed that with some of the most stringent defensible space requirements, building code requirements, to make sure that our homes can survive living in these fire-prone areas.
What's the strategy right now? Are you hosing down homes? What's the firefighting strategy right now?
Our crews right now are on the front lines, building containment line, using hand tools, using water. We're using our aircraft, the Cal Fire air tankers, helicopters, everything to slow down this fire. Unfortunately, it's the strong winds and the dry conditions that are allowing this fire to grow so quickly. But we definitely have a very aggressive firefight on this fire.
Daniel Berland with the California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection in Banning, California, at the base of the fire there. Daniel, thank you. Well, the San Jacinto wildfire is one of 32 burning in the west and northwest, part of a longer fire season with more intense fires. A century ago, U.S. fire policy switched from allowing burns to containing all fires so that smaller brush and undergrowth that used to burn away is now tinder. Greg Garfin is a climate and natural resource scientist at the University of Arizona. And Greg, you're of the school that thinks that people now live in what used to be wild forest, and so now people are dying protecting homes. Daniel Berland agrees, but we just heard him say there's no choice in California. Your thoughts?
Once people are living out there in the interface with wildlands, and many times right up against public lands, agencies like Daniel's have a mission to protect lives and property. But if we step back from that and we ask what towns can do in a place that is naturally fire-prone, like this landscape in California, towns have a choice about putting a buffer between where people live and, a highly vegetated landscape full of shrubs and trees and other kinds of material that we would call fuels.
So you're saying that, okay, people are moving into these, encroaching onto these wildlands, but then towns should still excavate some sort of buffer beyond that between them and this wood fuel. But of course, that's an aesthetic question, too, to a lot of people. They move into the woods to be surrounded by it, not to have a buffer.
Yeah, it would be lovely to live out in the woods, sure. But we have to remember that Southern California, because of its vegetation, its steep terrain, and also the climate, which is very sensitive to these oscillations of El Nino and La Nina, which set it up to build up fuels and then dry out and be very fire prone. California, Southern California, is probably more fire prone than it is earthquake prone.
Yeah, interesting. Well, and you're there in Arizona, which we've talked about. This has warmed by almost a degree over the last decade. This directly affects forest fires.
Yeah, sure. Increasing temperatures give us a longer fire season. In this particular case in Southern California, drought is the big story here. In the past year to 2 years, this region has only gotten about half of its average precipitation.
Well, and so the ground's not as saturated as it would be, which keeps things moist. But another problem that you remind us of when people build homes in these areas, it's not just that the homes burn, but as they do, they create more problems. How so?
Between the things that homes are made of, the fact that we have gas lines or, in some cases, propane tanks, and, you know, we all have paints and chemicals and all sorts of other things. So, you know, once a house is ignited in a kind of uncontrollable way, it can explode, which will send flaming embers way out in advance of what firefighters would call the flaming front of the fire. And that just gives a more rapid spread to the fire.
That's Greg Garfin, a specialist in climate sciences at the University of Arizona's School of Natural Resources. Greg, thanks so much.
My pleasure, Robin.